Hello, this is Victor Nyauchi, listening to Clubhouse and Podcast.
Not that cricket. Hello, hello, welcome to the Clubhouse Inn podcast. My name is Larry Queen and I have this podcast which focuses on the top tier level of cricket when it comes to Zimbabwe. And we've got a qualifier that's coming up in a few weeks, 2 weeks to be honest, 10 days, less than 2 weeks away, where Zimbabwe is playing at a lower tier level. Yeah, going to have a bit of a cry about that one. So Zimbabwe have put together a side that they've named with two uncapped players, Tashingam Sekiwa and Tinotenda Maphosa. But 11 players were featured against India in July, have been retained. So he's giving you the full squad: Sikander Raza, Faraz Akram, Brian Bennett, Ryan Burl, Trevor Gwandu, Clive Madande, Wesley Madevere, Tinotenda Maphosa, Tadiwanashe Marumani, Wellington Masakaza, Brandon Mavuta, Tashingam Sekiwa, Blessing Zarabani, Dion Myers, and Richard Ngaraba. So those are the players that have been named. Obviously, controversy. Everybody's like, no, why is my favorite player not there? I have the answers. Well, I don't have the answers. I found the person with the answers, which is convener of selectors, Mr. David Mutendera. Had a very good discussion with him. The discussion encompasses a lot of things. No, so it's not just why this selection at this particular point, but other questions like, what is the actual selection policy that Zimbabwe uses? What is the current selection policy that is in place? What power does the head coach have in as far as choosing a national team side, among other questions? So instead of the speculative aspect, which could have sat down here and said, look, hey, this could be it and might not be it, I had a chat with David Mutendera, the Zimbabwe convener of selectors.
Hi, this is Matthew Potts, and I'm on the Clubhouse End podcast.
Thank you so much for joining me, David. So the first question I will ask is, what is the thinking around the selection of this particular team for the qualifier?
Good day, Larry. So the thinking around the selection of the Zimbabwe T20 team for the qualifier in Kenya was based on the future for 2026 T20 World Cup, and also the main one, the ODI as well. We got to start rebuilding. As you know, we've got Craig and Sean, who are at 38 at the moment, by the time the World Cup comes around, they're going to be around 40s. And so we got to start blooding youngsters for the future and building for the future as well. So hence why that selection was based on that, and then hence why also we've been building behind the scenes. It's not even behind the scenes. We've been selecting an emerging team which went to the All Africa Games and actually won, where we were required actually to field a Zimbabwe men's national team, but we actually went with a very young squad, which was our under 25 really. And so that's the direction we're heading, and that's normal. And we cannot keep on selecting guys who are going to be retiring sometime soon as well. So we got to start looking into the future, and hence why we're going that route. And we've been going that route for quite some time, to be honest. It's the only thing that is, we've been selecting these players, we've been selecting these players really like for a while now, you know, starting with the likes of Madevere, Marumani, Shumba, you know, they were coming in small numbers initially when we started as this selection panel, and we've been rebuilding. We're only starting to see more numbers now as the players get more exposure and more experience. So yes, this selection was based looking into the future.
So did the NPL factor at all in as far as selection for the national team? Or does it ever factor? Because some people look at it and say, look, some people are performing well in the NPL. Why are they not in the national team?
To answer you, no. We don't. The selection policy as it stands, to just explain to people out there, selection policy when it comes to other players between 18 and 21, if there is a talented player, immensely talented player, they can be selected on potential. Beyond that, if you're 23 and above, you would have played first class cricket etc, especially when you're now starting to show that you're good at club level at the age of 23 and above. You cannot be selected on potential, because if your first class stats are not backing you up, then you're not guaranteed for selection into the national team, because you would have failed at the higher level of cricket before the national team, which is our franchise cricket, or our Zimbabwe A, which is your first class matches. So NPL, we do not consider stats for NPL. That's club cricket. That's National Premier League, okay? Club cricket. The next stage of our cricket in Zimbabwe is the franchise, which is, franchise is basically combined provinces. So Mountaineers is a combination of Manicaland province and Mashit province. And then you've got Matabeleland South, Matabeleland North, that's called Tuskers, that's combined. So that's the higher level now of our cricket in Zimbabwe, what we call first class cricket, franchise cricket. And then from franchise cricket, we go on to Zimbabwe Imagine, which is your A teams, Zimbabwe A, Zimbabwe Chairman, Zimbabwe President, whatever you want to call it. And then you go on to the national team. And players have to perform for their club, which is the National Premier League. And then they have to perform in the first class. Okay? And then from the first class, then they can now be selected for the national teams, which is your Zime and then the national team. So ideally, a player has to perform the pathway, National Premier League, franchise cricket, Zime, and then obviously into the national team. But like what I said, exceptions are only for younger players between the ages of 18 and 21. So we don't use NPL stats, because it's a lower stage of our competition in Zimbabwe in terms of club cricket.
So some have asked why someone like Jonathan Campbell, for example, was dropped after, you know, that one bad series. What is the reason for such a decision?
Going on to the question of Jonathan Campbell being dropped after one bad series, understandably, he had a decent series in Bangladesh, and it's still one for the future. And then he didn't do so well against India under a new coach. And when the coach came in, we sat with the coach and he aired his views on certain players. And he was strongly about Jonathan, and he said that Jonathan struggled. And I'm not going to go into details about the player, because this is something between the player himself and the coach and us as well, on certain weaknesses that he had. And Simons just thought, you know what, for now, let's go with the guys who are got form and who are confident at the moment. And I'll still keep an eye on Jonathan and still work with Jonathan. And we agreed with the coaches that, you know what, let's go with the guys who've got confidence at the moment in the T20 format and still work with Jonathan Campbell, as he's still part of the plans going forward. He's still a young player for the future. So it was agreed upon the selectors and the coach to leave him out of these qualifiers. And to be honest with you, Jonathan is one that we took a gamble with, if we want to be frank about that. He had good stats in the 50 over format and in the longer format, which is your four-day game cricket, where he actually performed. So when we did select him for the T20, it was merely a gamble and say, no, you know what, let's use the form that he has to just pick him for the T20, whilst we're looking. As a process of us looking at younger players. And he didn't disappoint in Bangladesh, but then he was found wanting against India, which we thought at some point it would come, but already we've given him that experience and exposure. And like what we said, we now know which areas we need to improve with him, especially the coach, the areas that he needs to improve with. So like what I said, it was an agreement between ourselves and the coach to leave him out for now and refine his game so that he becomes a better T20 player very soon in the future.
So I know you touched on it a bit in this very specific situation, but in general, how much does the head coach have a say in as far as selection is concerned?
Hello, on the head coach, the head coach has got a lot. Huh? a lot of say in the selection. He's the one who's working with the guys. So I'm always with the coach. The coach sends in, we discuss his preferred choices. Hence why I even have had his input on Jonathan Campbell. It was, we just don't pick without getting an input from the coach. The coach is important. The coach is the one who wants certain players. But then we discuss that with the panel, and looking also at the vision of the Zimbabwe cricket. So we don't work alone. Eh? There is a program by Zimbabwe cricket set up. There is a pathway set up by Zimbabwe cricket. We follow all of those protocols, and the coach plays a major role in that, in the team, in the composition of the team. So myself and the coach play a huge part. So it's the selectors and the coach, and then obviously you've got a convener who then makes the final decision. But that final decision it's done with the coach, with the coach in mind, and then most of the time the coach has to have the players that he wants and how you want to use them with our input as well. So the coach does have a big say in selection. You cannot just select a team and just give it to the coach with the coach not knowing which what these players can do. So he plays a major part. His input is so valuable. Hence why his input is so important. So to answer your question, he does.
So some might say, look, why send out the big guards? And question why selectors did not choose a team of youngsters such as the one that went to the African Games. What do you say to that?
Going on questions, why, you know, some questions have been asked of why we didn't choose the same team which won the All Africa Games. We actually did. This team which is there right now, majority of the players are the guys who went to the All Africa Games. It was the plan. Like what I said to you, we've had this plan for a long time now. We've been selecting these players and making them play Zim Imaging, Zim A. We had a Zim A team playing against South Africa in Bulawayo against South Africa A. And cricket followers know about this, and people who are really enthusiastic about the game, they've been following these players. And the team that went to the All Africa Games, like what I said earlier in the first question that I answered you, it was made up of mainly under 25 players, young team. So to even now break it down, the guys who went to the All Africa Games are the same basically at the core of the team which we selected for Kenya. Maramani did well at the All Africa Games. Akembo was one of them who did well. Madande was also there, he did well. Bennett did well. The only exception is Kembo, who we then dropped for the reason that I've mentioned above. And then you've got the bowlers. If you're going to go to the bowlers now, that's where the only difference is. Guys like Ngarawa, since now is the national team, and Mzarabani, they are strongest bowlers at the moment. And guys like Kudama Cheka would miss out on that because they haven't done as much as Ngarawa and placing Mzarabani. So the core of the team which went to the All Africa Games is the one that we actually selected. And Tashinga Msekiwa is one of them. He's in the fold now because of his performance with the emerging team which actually won the All Africa Games. That's the same team. So we couldn't pick all of those juniors and then having to take places of guys who are outright performing at the top for Zimbabwe team, which is your Raza, Blessing Mzarabani, Ngarawa. Mavuta has always been a seasoned campaigner. And hence why a guy like Wallace Mbaiwa and Owen Muzondo would miss out on that. And rightly so, if you look at Brendan Mavuta's stats, awesome. Wellington Masakadze has been a stalwart for us in the spinning department, very economical. And hence why you can't change and have an overhaul on a national team. This is the national team that is going for the qualifiers. And the bulk of the guys who went to All Africa Games make that team. Plus the experience and performing players who were always in the national team make up the team that we're sending to Kenya.
So finally, will Sean Williams and Craig Irvine be considered for future, particularly T20 selection, given the thrust seems to be looking at the future?
On Sean Williams and Craig Evan. For the T20s, no. Sean has already retired from the T20s. We're using the T20s for us to rebuild and give exposure to the young players that we want for the future national team. And but Craig Evan, my apologies, and Sean Williams are still part of our plans for the Test and the ODIs, and they've made themselves available for that. For that format, and we are looking ahead, and like what I said, in this T20 format, no, we're not going to be considering them unless if a guy, if both of them decide, hang on, we want to play properly and they do well, we still can select them. But that's far-fetched, you know, to be in the squad and have that experience to help the players, like what Raz is doing. But if they're not going to be at the top of the games, they're not going to be up for selection, and hence why Raz is still there, because he makes a difference at the moment. And if he's not, then we're looking at youngsters, and we've started to use that format for us to blood in the youngsters.
Hi there, Eddie Byram here of Glamorgan Cricket Club from the UK, and you're listening to the Clubhouse End podcast.
So there you have it, from the horse's mouth, the convener of selectors, David Mutendera, explaining how selection takes place. Various things came out there. NPL as a factor. What was taken into consideration when this side was being chosen for the qualifier? The futures of players like Sean Williams and Craig Evan. Where are they seen? Some of the decisions that some people may disagree with. What does the head coach have to say about the national team? What is his input there? All very important things. Please subscribe to the podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Audible, we're also on Spotify, a whole bunch of platforms, Iono, AfriPods, we're there everywhere. Just subscribe. Every subscription makes sure that we are able to get the podcast further out there and helps us to keep the lights on and keep everything awake. If you want to get in touch with me, 071, plus, in case you're not listening in Zimbabwe, +263 719 903 327. That is on WhatsApp. This is a Three Mob Radio production for three men on a boat. My name is Larry Kwidarai. And thank you so much. We'll be having another podcast episode this week and running up to the qualifier, during the qualifier, and after the qualifier. Pakistan is coming later in the year. Afghanistan, you've got Ireland, a lot of international cricket. There's international cricket season. There's also first-class cricket coming, and we'll see what we can do about that. Also, check out the Cricket Shed podcast, which goes a lot more into club cricket, grassroots cricket, also available on those particular platforms. My name is Larry Kwidarai. As I say, from where I come from, Asibi Siyasebenza. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.